When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your host, Renee Hansen.
Hello, I'm Renee, and welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast. Today, we would like to welcome Charlie Solis to our show. He is a newcomer to the Walking Dead universe, who stars in the spinoff series, The Walking Dead, Dead City, as the bartender in episode one. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
We're so glad to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Like yes. I said earlier, I love the podcast, so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, we thank you because we enjoy having all the newcomers and we're very much enjoying Dead City. That's for sure.
I'm happy to hear it. Yeah, it seems like everybody's loving it. I'm excited. I know we have the next episode popping up here pretty soon today. So
yeah,
it's fun to follow all the fans and all the critics, and you know, everyone's loving it. So
yeah, very much so. As a longtime fan, you're a little leery about what's to come. You know, they ended our main series, and you're like, okay, what's going to happen? But I had high hopes for Dead City, and I've been very, very happy with what I've seen so far. I have all the screeners, but I'm viewing them a little at a time because I don't want to rush it.
Yeah, you want to be, you know, on the time as the everyone, you know, else is listening to it and watching. So
yes, exactly. So you know, like I said, we're always excited to have the new actors on our podcast. So tell us, you know, like, how did your process go in obtaining the role?
So I had it was about a year ago now. It's crazy how long, you know, the whole filmmaking process takes. But I remember I got the audition, and it was unclear, you know, because we had the code name, which I think was also the original name, Isle of the Dead. So you know, I was like, oh, whatever this is, it sounds cool. Post, you know, who doesn't love a post-apocalypse story? And so, you know, you're also never sure if the sides and scripts that you get are actually for the show. You know, sometimes things are so under wraps that you're gonna get like a bogus script for, you know, something really random that has nothing to do with it. So actually, thankfully, I got, you know, my little bits. You get very little context, and so you kind of have to just dive in. But yeah, so I put it all together, put it on tape. You know, of course, this is still like pandemic moments, you know, with the SAG, we're still self-taping for now. And yeah, sent it in, and you know, it's just the whole waiting game. And, you know, I come off of like a run of being, you know, they call it pinned. When you get pinned for a role, you know, your face, it's like the final countdown. So I had a slew of pins. And so I was like, I don't want to get my hopes up. But then I get the email, oh, you're pinned for this role. So yeah, and then boom shakalaka, you get booked. And then I had 2 weeks and just about. And so, of course, like for me, I'm like, I don't want to get COVID or anything. Yeah. Everyone's like, can you come out? Do you want, you know, meet us here? I'm like, sorry guys, like this is some serious stuff here. I got to stay inside. But for me as an actor, I like to try to watch, you know, as much as I can. And I've watched most of The Walking Dead, but I wanted to really dive in. And so in that 2 weeks, like the most time that I had, I watched 155 episodes back to back, which was kind of fun. I mean, it put me into this whole mindset of like I was in the world, you know, and so it was like nonstop day and night, just like having a blast and really just like appreciating the storytelling and and building my character, you know, because you don't really have much context, which in some ways I think a lot of people get down about, like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. But to me, I see that as like an opportunity. You get to really be inventive, you know, figure out, you know, I work with my coach, we figure out our backstory and like all of that. So yeah, it was a really exciting lead up. And then like just walking onto set, I was like, I felt like I was in the post-apocalypse. Like I've been in this world just because I kind of climbed out of my room, you know, and after 2 weeks, and yeah, and then we started filming.
Yeah, that's it's got to be amazing. It's, but yeah, to watch, that was a great way to segue into that, by watching it all, and then you're just ready to go. You hit the ground running.
Ready to go. Yeah, and I'm like, I shared for a couple of days my green room with Lauren Cohan, which was really cool. You know, sometimes like you never know with such stars, like they could have their own space, but it was really awesome. And I'm like, wow, I've just been watching all this Walking Dead, and I'm like just chilling with Maggie, which is really, really neat. And you know, it's fun to hear all the tea of the last 12 years, you know.
Yeah,
such a run.
Yeah, because she's got some longevity in the series, so
oh yeah, and we love it.
Yeah. So that was one thing I was going to say. We always hear about these warm welcomes when you join the Walking Dead family. And so like, obviously you've experienced some of that. So I just wondered, you know, to have you share some of that, but I guess, you know, kind of did.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's been such a warm welcome. Everybody is just so great. You know, I mean, I remember getting a quick fist bump with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and I'm like, whoa, like I never want to wash my face again. This is so cool. You know, but also cause it's fun to see, you know, the human besides the character, you know, and get to know, like, talk to them, because you're thinking, oh my god, it's Negan. Negan, guys, like the whole room stops, Negan is here. But yeah, everyone was really, really sweet. And then also just like the crew, you know, we were out shooting, it was 96 degrees, which was, you know, rare for the East Coast, you know, in Jersey. And so it was fun. We're all out there kind of braving the heat together, and you know, it only sort of enhanced our post-apocalyptic look, you know, everyone's got that like shine. Everyone was super warm welcome, and which was great. I was the first shot of the day, first shot of the whole series, so it was a little, you know, a little unnerving, because I'm like, wow, like this is day one, like we're all gonna, hopefully I start us off on a good foot, you know. But I think I did.
it was a great scene. I heard a couple people I talked to, they thought it might even have been a flashback scene, because it looked so like when, like, I guess her driving up there, you kind of could tell it was desolate and kind of that kind of stuff, but the bar scene itself kind of was like, wait a minute, is this a flashback or, you know, or something, because it seemed, you know, they have bars and there's people and, you know, that kind of thing. So
oh yeah, you know, and that was fun, because I know one of the first like promotional images that they released was the one of Maggie and I sitting at the bar, and so it was fun to follow along, you know, all the speculation of the fans, like what is going on here, like, you know. But that's also the exciting thing about just this universe, I think, is there's so many pockets of different communities, you know. And I think we're in New Babylon, you know, that's like the name of our little spot in the world, and so we got a nice little taste of what life might be like there, you know. From the acting point of view, it's like, all right, you know, you see me hiding all the liquor, there's the prostitutes there, you know, we are trying to cut to live in the seemingly very conservative controlled little area, you know. So hopefully we'll, you know, maybe we'll get back there and we'll get to see a little more of like what New Babylon is like. And you know, I think it's exciting because a lot of that informs just Gaius' character, you know, and like what he's trying to enforce, you know, and all these principles of this community, you know.
Yeah. And that is true. When those first look images release for, you know, even the Walking Dead episodes and things, everyone is over analyzing them. They're enhancing them. They are zooming in to see the background, what's happening behind, to kind of piece together what's going on. You know, and especially with a new series, it was even, I think, more so, because everyone was just so excited. What is this? How are Maggie and Negan going to team up again? What is this? You know? So yeah, I remember when that picture of the bar, you know, with you and Lauren came out, I remember looking at that too, thinking, wow, this kind of looks modern. What the, or, you know, like it doesn't look apocalyptic so much, you know, because just it was a tight shot and that kind of thing. So yeah, there was definitely lots of speculation going about what's going on in that scene.
Oh yeah. And it's fun, it's a fun way to start there. And you know, it's interesting to see from the day one process, and I know that they added that whole first scene that we see, you know, with Maggie, for just the context of the story and just the emotional journey that her character, just reminding us all, you know, kind of where she's coming from. And I think it sort of ignites the story in such a beautiful way. Yeah, so it's cool. And we'll see, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, how the fans receive the rest of everything.
One thing I enjoyed very much about Dead City is that it feels, for diehard fans, it's going to feel comfortably familiar until it becomes drastically different. And I just felt that, you know, like certain scenes felt so Walking Dead, and then all of a sudden it was not at all, you know, which was great.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's kind of a really beautiful creative choice too, that we don't like immediately start in Manhattan, you know, because it kind of, even just like with the scenery, there's a lot more of the green that we're kind of used to from the original show. And we sort of ease into like this new vocabulary of Dead City, you know, and I thought that was kind of a fun way to transition into the Big Apple. You know, what an iconic place to shoot, you know. And there's just so many like locations, you know, I'm like, there, I see what a beautiful choice, because they could go, you know, there's a lot of stories that could happen in Dead City. You know, we're only seeing a couple, you know, iconic spots. Like it's really cool that they shot outside Delmonico's. Yeah. You know, and we see a little bit of the financial district. Yeah. And I think that's also exciting. I think, you know, I'm based in New York, and I know a lot of people are like, oh wow, we haven't really gotten to see zombie New York so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we get that opportunity, and it's fun to see, you know, with the other spinoffs, like each one kind of coming up with their signature style. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm excited also to see you know, where the other spinoffs lead as well.
Yeah, it will. One thing I don't know if it was intentional, but the blue truck that Maggie was driving, that reminded me of season 2. They had a blue truck at Herschel's farm. And that's the first thing that popped into my head. She was driving down, like you said, the green. It's that felt very Georgia, you know, kind of thing. And then she's driving that blue truck. And so that was like, oh, that's just like Herschel's farm, you know? And so it's fun to see just those little things, whether they're intentional or not, but fans are, they're finding these things to make them feel nostalgic, I guess, for The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, you know, and that's also even walking into like the bar, I'm like, yeah, all right, where's the peach schnapps, you know? Yeah. Exactly. Cracking jokes just to see, you know, of course, because I'm like, I've just walked out of this world and watched all this a second ago, so I'm like, where is it at, you know? I'm like wondering these fun little things, you know, there's all sorts of little details, because it seems, you know, I think sometimes we're like, it was that just an arbitrary choice, but I think there's a lot of specifics to, you know, each of the little things that we see, you know, subtly in the backgrounds.
Yeah. And I do like how they keep bringing up little pieces of Maggie or Negan, their story. Like someone who's not watched The Walking Dead could watch Dead City and follow along enough, and they're giving enough of those little bits of information to understand their headspace. And I really like how they're including those little bits for someone that maybe has forgotten some of it, you know. It's, you know, especially like the scene with, you know, Negan and Glenn, you know, Glenn, that shocked me. I about fell out of my chair. But
I was like, we're going there. We're going to go back there. Whether you want to see it or not, we're going to see it again. And you're going to remember, you know, that emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
Which is helpful. But yeah,
I
was going to say, I agree. Episode. Yeah. It's, oh, you haven't? Okay.
No, I watched it once. Yeah, I never watched it again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And it's not one that you want to see more than once.
Exactly. So it was a shock, but I felt like it was necessary so that you could remember why Maggie feels the way she does, you know? And so.
Because you never know, if people being like, oh, well, you know, that's like the theme of just survival is we're going to do some crazy things. And if you hadn't come from seeing all the original show, it might not seem as serious. And so I do appreciate that they gave us that flashback, you know. And a lot of people were wondering, oh, do I have to have seen, you know, all the seasons of The Walking Dead before this to get it? And you know, I'm happy to, you could really just hop right in and kind of get the gist as we, you know, dive along in this journey.
Yeah, for sure. I was really excited to see Michelle Hurd in your scene. Because I don't know how they kept that quiet. I was like, how did they have her in that and keep it quiet? I saw her hair and I knew exactly who it was. I didn't even have to see her. It was like, you know, Lauren, I could see you and Lauren and just that little bit of her hair over there. And I was like, yeah. So that had to be cool too. You got to work with Lauren and her. And
a true icon, you know. And it's funny, my dad is a big Star Trek fan. And so I, you know, I didn't tell anybody. And then I was like, the first, he's like, well, you didn't tell me that like Michelle Hurd was, you met Michelle Hurd. And I was like, you know, I got to hang out with her. What an amazing actor. And really just helped, you know, take me under her wing. And you know, you get to hear, that's one of the fun things about just working with these like actors that have just done so much is everyone is so happy, they're so giving, and any insight that they can offer, you know. And so it was just a real privilege to see Michelle working and also get to work with her and get a little taste of you know, her craft, which was really neat. You know, I will remember one of the scenes, we, you know, we have there's a lot of weapons in the show, and of course we come fresh off of, you know, especially like a year ago shooting this, a little closer to the you know, tragedies that happened with Alec Baldwin shoot and all that. And so of course, like, these conversations come up, and it's, you know, it's a really interesting, because I haven't, you know, done a lot of work around weapons on set. And so it was fascinating. You know, you have the armorer come on set, they are so specific, you know, everybody stops, cast, crew, you know, we're all sitting there to listen, and they go over, you know, every aspect of the weapon, you know, which parts are from a real gun, which parts are fake, that, you know, they can't shoot, yada yada. And then they invite everybody to come inspect it. And you know, the first moment that this happened, you know, I think everyone's just, you know, you don't want to rock the boat, you don't want to, you know, and so no one raises their hand to go inspect the weapon, no cast, no crew. And then all of a sudden you hear Michelle Hurd, I'd like to check it. And then she turns to me and some of the other, you know, newer cast members, and she's like, you always check that weapon. She's like, you always do, and never be afraid to either. And, you know, that's part of the protocol, and they invite that. And so then, you know, every scene that there was a weapon after that, all the rest of the actors are like, I'd like to see. But also it's insightful, because, like, you know, it's really fascinating to understand that aspect of just television and filmmaking, and also just to understand that it is kind of the responsibility of everybody on set to take a check, you know, understand what's happening, understand the safety of just the storytelling at hand.
Yeah, that's neat.
Applaud Michelle for, you know, leading the way on that and educating everybody, you know, because that's also super important, so we can all keep enjoying what we do.
Yes, exactly. Because we enjoy watching it. So if we keep that up. So it was hard to tell in, you know, when in her death scene, were you in that scene? Because it was so dark.
Yeah, so,
and I tried to slow it down and I couldn't tell if you were back there in the
So I was there. I think you might get a quick glimpse of me, like, on the exit outside. And so it's just with the coverage, I know, it's never easy to tell how long we're going to linger on certain places, you know, because TV moves fast and, you know, we get a lot of coverage and you're not sure what, you know, which point of views are going to stay in there. But that I was, you know, it happened so quickly, and it's fun because a lot of people, I think it was a cool little trick for the audience, you know, because you have this icon like Michelle Hurd pop up and you're like, oh, wow, Michelle Hurd's in this. Like, she's probably going to be here the whole show.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's Michelle Hurd. And so I thought it was, you know, some people were like, oh, my God, you know, people that would text me like, I can't believe I was so set up to think that Michelle was going to be there for the whole time. And then just like that, like, quicker than you can even imagine, she's gone.
Yeah. So how was that, like, the filming of her death scene and stuff? How I'm like I guess I don't know how much you guys see, and I know a lot of it's done in post or something like that, but how gruesome was all of that, you know, that you got to actually
it was pretty gruesome. And you know, also Michelle loves to try to do a lot of her own stuff, you know. She's a real I would say a real badass. And they were like, well, we do need to use the stunt person for like this last bit. She's like, oh, okay, you know. But it was fun even chatting with her, because you do have all the walkers there and they just do such a great job in the chair. I think it was like 3 hours or so per walker just to get everything, you know, all set and ready. And so it was fun, you know, chatting with the cast, because it's like much easier on your imagination to kind of fall into the circumstances of like, and allow yourself to feel the fear of the undead. And because it's like right there, and you know, it's a pleasure that we didn't have to work with a green screen, you know, like the only real effects that we would see or would be like with a knife, like instead of an actual knife, it's like a green laser, you know, and then they go in, of course, with the special effects and do that. And that's all, you know, to keep everybody on set safe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But yeah, it was pretty quick and gruesome, and and it was easy to just trick yourself into believing the circumstance and allow that fear to come up, you know. Yeah. And watch her unfortunately get eaten.
Yeah, because I was like you, I thought, oh yeah, she's gonna play an important role in this, you know, and everything. And I was like, oh, that guess, all right, well, that's over.
yeah, bye Michelle. She's like, now the bar's Charlie's.
Yeah.
It's his now.
Yeah, now he's gonna be in charge, and watch out for Pearly to come get him or something.
yeah, you know. And I was thinking too, after I'm like, well, I guess, you know, it was the tales of the Walking Dead. I was like, who knows, maybe they'll go back and we'll see like a story about Michelle, you know, and her character, I believe her character's Jones.
Jones, yeah, I did find that out. I kept calling her the bar owner or something.
The bar owner,
I think, was listed on IMDb. So in my articles, I kept using that, and then finally, I'm like, oh, she has a name. Good.
that. Yeah, I'm like, that would be a fun. I'd love to see her backstory and you know, maybe even a little more, because you know, there's just a lot of stuff and turmoil happening, I think, in that world too. And you know, that's why she's so suspicious of Maggie when she comes on in there. And you know, you got to be tough. And so that was super fun.
Yeah.
I'll never forget too. We were in the, you know, getting ready to shoot that exterior with all the walkers, like this, you know, really intense scene. And where we were shooting, I guess across, it was like there's a bit of a forest spot, and through the forest there was a restaurant and a parking lot. And I guess just preemptively they decided to do the zombie holding in the parking lot near this restaurant. And this was like an overnighter, and so you all of a sudden we're outside and you hear a bunch of people just screaming bloody murder. And I get, they had neglected to tell, you know, because they can't really spill the beans and be like, hey, we're going to be shooting something here. There's zombies, you know, so no one got the message that there were going to be these lifelike zombies out there.
Oh, no.
And so I guess around midnight or whatever, this restaurant closes and you hear people through the woods just in sheer panic. And then a few moments later, you know, of course, someone ran to probably like assure them it was a show. And then you hear this like bust of laughter.
Oh, gosh.
Because they look so real, you know. And I was like, yeah, I probably would have freaked out. You know, you're getting off work and you're going out into the parking lot and you see the dead people. I probably would have been a little shook.
Yeah, a little bit, because they do look pretty realistic, especially when you're expecting that at midnight or whatever. Yeah, in the dark.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, what a surprise, because, you know, they just look so good.
Yeah, that's funny. But those people, they have such a great story to tell now. This one night,
they do.
Off work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So this is your first apocalyptic series or anything that you filmed?
Yeah, first apocalypse stuff, which is fun. You know, go ahead.
That's what I was going to say. What's been the most fun about it?
You know, I think, and I feel like a lot of other actors on set mentioned this, it's like it really takes the pressure off of the like glam of show business, because you're like, well, it's supposed to apocalypse. Like, I'm supposed to be like a little sweaty. Like, we got to look a little tired. Like, that's, you know, we're all survivors. You know, it's funny because like I have this fun T-shirt. It's like zombie apocalypse survivor. And people are like, oh, no, is this a spoiler? And I'm like, no, everybody that we see in the show has survived, you know, the fallout of of the world, you know, in the in the outbreak of all the zombies. And so it's fun to kind of incorporate that, even from like the actor point of view, and be like, well, when I'm thinking about this character, like, they did go through some stuff, you know, like, they're still alive and we're finding them in this moment for however many years they've managed to stay, you know, afloat. And so there's a certain grit to each character, I think, just because of the circumstance of survival, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Cause it's been a while. I mean, it's been many years and these people have been, they've seen some stuff.
They've seen some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that was like a fun, just, you know, and all the hours hanging out with like with Lauren and just getting to talk, you know, in depth about just the story, the franchise, you know, and really reflecting on, like, it's essentially just, you know, zombies aside, it's just, it's a story of trauma and a story of survival, and trauma affects each person differently. And, you know, it's also a fun character expression, because you're like, well, how does this character deal with trauma? You know, everyone has their own tactics and devices, and it makes it really fun, I think, when you do create these characters, or I mean, I imagine from the writer point of view of, you know, how they handle it all.
So you said you did develop some backstory for your character.
Yeah, so, you know, I thought it was fun to look at just the timeline of when the fallout was, you know, and thinking, wow, I was probably like a younger kid, you know, as all this is going through. And so that kind of helped inform a little bit of my relationship. You know, granted, all this is so quick and, you know, we actors do so much work and, you know, you hope that a lot of it translates in such quick moments. But for me, it also informed my relationship with Michelle's character, you know, because I remember even discussing that with like the other prostitute characters and the other people in the bar, and, you know, in that quick moment of her death, you know, and we were like, wow, like, for however we all got here, like, this person, this character, you know, who's like the leader of our little community group right there, our pocket, like, she has looked out for us, you know, she has kind of kept us all alive. She's given us a place to live, you know, she is giving us something to do, you know, to assume, like, get our, to eat, you know, have like our own little sense of livelihood in this awful undead world, you know. And so it gave a lot of context of just like that relationship, which was exciting, you know. And so that's why I'm like, oh, there's a lot there, maybe you know, I'd love to see more of Michelle in the Walking Dead world.
I think it'd be great tales of the Walking Dead episode. And I know they're developing the next section of that. So we could maybe see some.
You never know. Yeah.
There's so many of those, though. I've got a list of ones. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. People always ask me, so like, wait, I thought the Walking Dead was over. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. It's far from over. I'm like, it's kind of starting to feel like you know how Star Wars has sort of exploded, and we're getting to see every bit of this universe, you know, from all sorts of different points of view. And I think that's also something that's so thrilling about The Walking Dead and all the spinoffs, is it's like, no, we're far from over. In fact, we're just getting started, you know. And that's
for sure. And it's a good thing, because I think, you know, The Walking Dead, it ran for a very long time, and now it's just exciting to see. I think a lot of people are liking it again because you have the small cast again. You know, it got to where The Walking Dead had such a big cast, and it was hard. Like, some of the characters, it was very hard to even, like, they would die and you're just like, well, I didn't even know. They were hardly in the show. It was very hard to feel something like you did at the beginning when the cast was much smaller. And each death was like, oh, no. Even if you didn't like the character, you're like, no, not that person, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got.
Yeah, I think that's like super exciting as well. And I think, you know, I think the writers are totally listening to the fans, you know, and listening to what works, what didn't work. And, you know, it's definitely nice to keep it intimate, because we really, I think, get to establish like a lot of empathy with each of these characters. So you do care, you know, when something happens to them, and it is a little more draws that emotional response. So it is fun that we've kind of like gone back to basics with Dead City, and we get to follow these, you know, two very amazing, deep characters in this tense journey.
And they have such good chemistry. I love, because at first, when they first announced it, I'm like, oh, Maggie and Negan, are we just going to hear, you know, they've just been bicker for that last season. And at first I was like, oh, all right. But then, you know, the more you watch those two together, the more excited as season 11 progressed, I was like, I think it is going to be really good because they do have such good chemistry together. And, you know, even just what the couple episodes, it's like, yeah, this is, yeah, perfect to have those two together. And it's been fun. And I love that they're putting the main actors as executive producers in these new spinoffs, because I think that's, you know, they know these characters and they can really give some input.
Oh yeah, they know him better than anybody else, and so I imagine for their, you know, journey as these characters too, it's probably so helpful to just be, you know, in that conversation mm-hmm. of, you know, how it works, and, you know, and also I'm like, wow, like if Maggie really was serious about saving her child, like who better else than to go through like one of the worst places on earth, like the highest density walker place, in other than to like do it with like Negan, you know mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, what else could she have done, you know mm-hmm. So I'm like, it makes so much sense that she's had to, you know, suck it up and do what's right, even though it kills her inside yeah. to save yeah. her son
yeah. yeah. And especially Negan has always been, he won't hurt the kids, you know what I mean? Like, he's always protected the children, you know, he mm-hmm. protected Carl, he protected Judith, he's got Jenny now, you know, and he protected Herschel, you know, he's going to do what he needs to do to save these kids. Yeah. You know? So yeah, it does make sense.
And, you know, and that's like the fun too, I think, just the moral question of it all is like, in a survival based time, you know, it depends whose point of view you're looking at, like who is the bad person, you know, sometimes. And I think that's like the fun exploration of just the show in general, is it's like, what are you going to do to survive, and which ethics do you have to, you know, compromise in order to stay alive, you know mm-hmm. And so it's like, depends whose point of view you're looking at, and exactly. It makes it so it's not so black and white, you know yes. And I think that makes it, from the viewers, also really interesting, because you're like, you want to have a bad guy, but also you still empathize with him. And it's like, well, what would you do if you're yeah. in that situation? You know, and you got to be tough. You got to be scary, you know?
Yeah. I co-host another podcast, and we always have a discussion that if we saw this story from Negan's point of view, Rick would be our villain.
Exactly. 100%.
So yeah, but it's good to have that, you know, and yeah. So it's, yeah, I'm loving the series. It just gives you a lot of hope for, you know, the fandom and things, because, you know, none of us wanted, I mean, you knew The Walking Dead something needed to be done, because it was kind of getting slow, or, you know, like I said, I think a lot of it was just the size of the cast. It was just difficult to keep all those storylines going. But, you know, you didn't want it to end really, but you know,
yeah. Oh yeah.
So I think this is an amazing way to do it. And I'm very encouraged that this is doing so well, that I'm hopeful that the other ones can, and that'll encourage them to create more. Cause I know yeah. Scott Gimple has said there's more coming if this stuff, you know, if these can pan out, we've got more coming. So.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think that it needed, you know, it got its new little bit of spice, and yeah. I think it sort of reinvigorated the story, and people were like, oh, I'm not tired of this. I want to mm-hmm. come back. It is nostalgic. I do care for this universe and these characters, you know, and I want to explore it, you know? And so I do think this will be fun, and it's neat to see each spinoff kind of developing its own style and vocabulary to kind of differentiate a little bit between them. But I hear that there's a lot of potential for crossover between them as well.
We keep hearing rumors of that. So and that would be, you know, I like, it would be great to see, you know, I mean, it would be great to see some of that. And, you know, I don't want them to do it so much that they just recreate The Walking Dead, you know, keep this fresh.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they handle all of that, because yeah, I mean, there's so much possibility, even with Fear the Walking Dead ending, they bumped up their timeline. So some of, you know, those characters now, they're almost, their 7-year time jump almost puts them in line with the end of The Walking Dead. So there's, right. You know, there's a lot of potential, you know, that, so it'll be fun to see what they come up with.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, and again, I you can tell that they have a lot up their sleeve, and yeah. they're doing their research, and, you know, they're listening. They're letting yeah. you know, it's like, what, there's so many, as you know, the Walking Dead fandom is just massive, and you know, everyone has something to say, mm-hmm. and I think it's helpful, you know, to listen in, and, you know, also just take stock of what's working, and, you know, give the people the goods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That was exciting. Well, I also saw that you recently starred in the 529th episode of Law and Order SVU.
That's correct. Yeah. Which, you know, what another franchise. My friends are like, they know that I try to watch everything, you know, of the show, yeah, as many episodes as I can. Cause just the respect, you know, I'm like, these are like big families and you're walking into it, you know, I'm like, you should definitely do your homework, you, yes, know? So I, in the small period, you know, once you find out that you're booked, yeah, you get, you know, sometimes it's only a couple of days. And so I had a week and a half and quarantined again, and I would just dove right into SVU and I watched like 65 episodes before I shot my little moment there. But it was fun. I joke. I'm like, well, I think I guess I look a little rough. Like, you know, I'm getting that post-apocalypse and I'm cast as a New Yorker. I was like, they both got that rough vibe.
Yeah.
So I did that. Definitely a different world.
Yeah.
But super fun. You know, mm-hmm, it's also another huge franchise,
yeah,
you know, that's been going on for, you know, how many years, since 99.
Yeah.
and so that was fun. And then of course, you know, I think it was a unique opportunity to be able to dive into such established, mm-hmm, franchise.
Yeah.
Real privilege. And I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. And it's funny because the amount of actors from The Walking Dead that have starred in one or more of the Law and Order series is, the number is huge. I've tried to compile an article to get, wow, I can't even do it because every time I do, I find somebody, I feel like I'm going to leave. I've never published it. Like, I've got it, you know, outlined, yeah, things, but then I keep finding more and more and I'm like, I'm going to forget people, which, I mean, a lot of times people, they'll message me or they'll, you know, reach out to me on social media. Hey, so-and-so was in. I'm like, great, thanks. And I add it to my stuff, but this is a huge article. So I don't know that I'll ever get it done because every time I turn around, someone else is in it.
Someone else is there. You see, but I think there's something to it. You know, New Yorkers have to have that tough grit, yeah, vibe, just like you have to have in the post-apocalypse. So
yeah,
it makes sense to me.
Yep. It's very different, but it's very similar at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I saw on IMDb there you have a short that you're working on that you wrote, direct, and star in.
Yeah, so this one has been a while in the works. Mm-hmm. It's a fun thriller project. I'm collaborating with someone who's in Australia, and
okay,
it's more of a fun hobby short, you know, because,
yeah,
we like to. It's fun to play both sides, and I think, you know, all actors should spend time trying, you know, whether it's for fun or hobby, just other aspects of, you know, filmmaking, storytelling, because you kind of, you learn a lot either way, and you get to empathize with each role. You know, I like to say that TV and film, it's like a mosaic, you know,
yeah,
it's not just one person's art, and it's like, you know, sometimes thousands,
yeah,
all together, everyone's little bits. So yeah, working on that. And then I have a couple other shorts, that are in post-production as well that I've done. So we're just, you know, waiting. And then, hoping that this strike, the writer's strike, comes,
yes,
to a conclusion here pretty soon. You know, that was one of the little bummers. We did have our Tribeca premiere, as you know, unfortunately, mm-hmm, none of the writers could be there, just, you know, in,
yeah,
solidarity with the union. So it may be for better, because I'm sure it's hard for them to kind of keep everything under, mm-hmm, wraps. You know, you have everybody asking a million questions because you're like, wait, tell us more. Wait, what's going, what's going to happen next? I'm like, are you sure it was because of the strike, or you guys just didn't want to spill the beans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's on these non-disclosures and you forget about it, you know, so it's,
yeah,
funny. You got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it's probably really tough. I've done several interviews and everybody, you know, you want to talk to them, like, so what's, you got any upcoming stuff? And they're like, nope, not yet. You know, there's nothing I can be doing right now. We're all waiting, you know, and so hopefully things get resolved soon, because it's a quite the situation for sure for everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But we all stand by our wonderful writers,
yeah,
and,
absolutely,
you know, and support them. I've spent a few days going to the picket line, you know, with my sign, you know, SAG-AFTRA out there in solidarity, you know, and I think,
yeah,
that's important for them too, to know that, you know, we stand along with them.
Yeah, sure.
And hope for the best.
Yes, exactly. Well, we'll keep watching and see what else, you know, if you get, you know, let us know if you're once things call, you know, get situated, then once you get cast in some new things, be sure to let us know and we'll, we'll chat again.
Oh yeah, totally.
So, well, I appreciate your time. It was really nice to talk with you and
know,
learn more about the bartender and
Yeah. And I appreciate you, Renee. Thank you for spending some time here. Let me share all my insights of my little experience here.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.